Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you, Andrew? You look very relaxed and happy.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes, all good. So let's quickly dive in on everything that happened this past week. Obviously, we had CPI and some pretty extreme responses, to what seems like pretty soft data. What's your big takeaways, and are you surprised or anything by the market reactions?
Yeah, completely. I think the market got ahead of its skis once more. I think it was a combination of a downside surprise on the CPI, plus Powell's testimony to Congress. So, I mean, what did Powell say that was new? He said that the risk to the employment and the inflation side of the mandates were balanced than before. It was just an inflation risk. And what he was reacting to is the increase in the unemployment rate. But what is interesting is that he remained very positive on the economy. He basically said the risk of a sharp weakening in the labor market had increased. But he remained positive on the outlook. And that's my view too. If you look at the data, and for our listeners, it's in my NFP review and also in the webinar. If you look at the weeds, which is what I do, I'm a nerd, it's my job. You can see that for instance, the insured unemployment rate is flat. In previous recessions, it goes up. So most of the increase has been the uninsured people, so new entrants to the labor market. If you look, this is again a bit nerdy, but if you look at the second derivative of the change in the number of people employed, so the speed at which the number of unemployed is increasing, it's actually slowing. So yes, the number of unemployed is still going up, but at a slower rate. And if you look at all previous recessions in the 1960s, when unemployment was increasing, at this stage, the second derivative was also going up. Also, you had a stabilization of continuing claims this week. And more broadly, you have a bit of a soft patch in the economy, I'll grant you that. What is going on is that people last year got a postponement of their filing deadline. This was about 30% of US taxpayers because of extreme weather. Instead of filing, even in California, instead of filing in April, we filed, actually, we got two reprieve, first to September and then to October. So tax payments were less, which is why consumption, in part, one of the reasons why consumption was strong last year. But this year we have to pay on a normal schedule. So if you look at the rate of change of after-tax income, it's a bit slower. While actually pre-tax income, which is largely driven by employment and real wages, that growth is still accelerating. So this story with the tax payment is going to self-correct over this quarter. Meanwhile, we have a pickup in CapEx in equipment. In February, I'd said, we have a big increase in construction CapEx. So with all the money the administration is dishing out to manufacturers that are building these factories, but they are not spending on equipment. And I thought eventually the equipment would follow because you have to fill those factories, you have to use them.
I
And
remember
it's
some.
happening. Yeah, it's happening now. So I completely agree for once with Powell's view on the economy. When you have an increase in the unemployment rate like we've had now, you really, your ears perk up. You really want to be very focused on the hidden dangers. But if you look at the data details, you have good reasons to remain positive on the economy. So I think people overreacted to this comment, on the balance of a risk on the two sides of the mandate, which was more a recognition of the change in the data than an announcement that the Fed is embarking on a big tight easing cycle. Not at all. And so to follow with what's coming next week, next week Powell is getting interviewed by David Rubinstein. David Rubinstein, by the way, who was interviewed by Bilal in his podcast. But and I suspect Powell, looking at the market reactions, the 2.5 cuts priced in, is probably going to tell people to calm their enthusiasm, curb their enthusiasm. And I would add one thing. Besides the economics, there is also a good political reason for not cutting before the election, which means cutting either the meeting, which is a week of the election, the Wednesday of that week, or in December. And the reason is that it looks increasingly like it's Trump who's going to win, which means inflation risks are likely going up. So the Fed, the result of the election could be an input to the Fed decision. And also during the testimony, Chair Powell was explicitly told by Republican congressmen to that, appearances of political neutrality were important, and that in order to basically keep their support for Fed independence, he would be well advised to not cut before the election. And I think this Fed independence story is super, super important because if Trump wins, he's going to try to change the Federal Reserve Act, and all he needs is 60 votes in Congress. And since Republicans are likely to have at least 51, certainly Chair Powell
Going pretty
needs
fast.
all his
Yes.
friends.
But that I definitely think makes sense. But I guess the odds, the idea that they would that he cut once in September. Now with this data and some core coming down or super core, and does it look likely at least that they have a small cut in September and then they just wait till after Trump till early next year? Or do you think you still think it's unlikely that they would even cut in September?
So I think they would, if they cut this year, a couple of things. If
Yeah.
they cut, it's an insurance cut. It's
Right.
not because we have a big recession.
Yeah.
It's just, we've got good inflation data, which, by the way, in my view, reflects the volatility in energy data, because as I showed in my CPI review, you still have quite a strong correlation between core or median price or trim mean inflation and energy. So it's an
Right.
insurance cut. Since it's an insurance cut, they have quite a bit of, and since the economy is still very strong, I mean, the increase in unemployment is the one discordant note in that very strong picture. So they have, quite a bit of choice. There is no reason to rush with cuts. And in terms of politics, they are much better off if they wait until after the election than before. I mean, why shake a red flag in front of a very partisan Congress, since economically it's not going to make that much of a difference?
It's a good point. Listen, there's a lot still between now and September. If you know if
100%.
and I guess listen, if 24 basis points are priced in a week before, they're gonna cut. they're not going to surprise the market completely. But I'm assuming you have the both conventions, there'll be a lot of speeches, and it'll be pretty. I mean, one thing that Powell has done, to me, it seems like he doesn't love surprises, right? So they're going to gear towards either
100%.
this is a one insurance or nothing, and just, wait till after the, and it'll be pretty clear before then. I guess now is, with a week or two to go. So, okay, I got you. I guess only a question before we move forward. The owner-occupied rent, are you surprised by that? Do you see, is that any symbol? I mean, I know that there's not exact correlation, but the apparently there's like, it's now coming on in southern states. There's a huge amount of supply, I guess, more for sale, and on the middle to lower end. I don't know if that's coming from like multifamily units or that are for sale, or I guess that's maybe it's more rent or smaller homes are now getting overbuilt. I mean, I know generally the housing market is actually still pretty strong, but just curious, on, I guess, particularly in the owner-occupied rent, maybe housing in general.
So yeah, I was surprised, but I think the Fed was surprised too, because just a couple of weeks ago, the Boston Fed had published a very interesting research note explaining that OER was likely to remain high all through this year and only start falling next year. So it's one of those things,
So the Fed got it wrong. Well,
Well,
it's
I
one
mean,
number. It's one number, yeah.
so, it's just 1 month data. And if you look at the fundamentals of the housing market, so it's actually quite strong. You look at vacancy rates, owner occupied, so owned home vacancy rate are rock bottom, lowest in, I believe, in the series history. Rental vacancies are going up, but they are still below pre-pandemic. Real wage growth, okay, wage growth is slowing, but real wage growth is still substantial. Employment is going up. We have a big inflow of immigrants. So, I mean, the Fed, the FOMC members are not traders. They really take, we hope, they really take,
Neither can Congress now be either.
so they take a sort of longer term view. They look at things like 3 months moving averages. So they've been waiting for this slowdown, which is finally happening, but they want to be sure. They will need to more than one data point. So we'll see. I think, it's a good sign. We need a couple more data points to confirm it.
Okay, cool. And then let's quickly hop on to upcoming week. Yeah, what stands out? What should people look out for?
So most important is retail sales, where consensus, I believe, is about 0.2%, not very high, which makes sense, which fits well with my story of after-tax income is growth is slowing. So that's the most important one. Then we have industrial production. The US is a services-driven economy, so we have IP in the Bloomberg calendar, so we need to talk about it, but it's not a really big deal. Housing starts, and then we have a slew of FOMC speakers, including Waller, and we also have the Beige Book, which is going to be very beige as usual. So
Grayish.
yeah, beige. So Powell really is, in my view, is the main event for next week. So it's on Monday. So I guess hopefully we can have it easy the rest of the week.
Let's hope that interview goes better than when he interviewed SBF.
We hope.
Yeah. Tell us about your philanthropy. And that was, I think, like Not that long, maybe 9 months ago, 8 months ago. Okay, this sounds great. So I guess Jackson Hole is what? It's towards the end of August, right?
Yeah, and it's about monetary policy transmission. And I have a hunch that it's not going to be about how great transmission has been, but more like, but you know, there is a super interesting article written by Bernanke about 35 years ago, which basically launched his central banking career on monetary policy transmission. Bernanke Gertler, when I was in school, you know, I had to read it, but he argues that monetary policy changes get transmitted through asset prices and banks' balance sheets. And the thing is, you know, it means that for policy tightening to transmit to the real economy, you need to deflate asset prices.
Which isn't not really happening, yeah.
Of course, there is no political appetite to do that on the part of the Fed. So I'm going to revisit this 35 years old article
Yeah.
with new data and show that Bernanke's intuition, I think, was correct, but the implications for the current time are a bit uncomfortable for the Fed.
Yeah. And not too much on that, but I always felt like he, of all the central bankers the US has ever had, seemed to be very focused or believed that the equity market was highly correlated with the underlying economy. And I don't feel like a lot of the other senior central bankers have said that outside of him. And then the second thing is, I don't know, I think we never talked about it, but it's got to be like 15, 20 years ago, and I was sitting next to the at a lunch, I think bank I worked for at the time, JP Morgan, and we had the central bank governor of Brazil, and I was asking him, I'm like, why do you have why are your real rates so high? And he said, we just don't have the transmission like you do in the US. You guys raise rates 50 basis points, like the economy slows down within like 2 or 3 months, like you really see it. And it'd be interesting to get his views now. Or we've all become Brazil, and but I mean, it's much longer conversation why we think that that has changed. But I do remember, and a lot of it he said is just structurally how we're evolving as a country, how the economy's evolving, and we just have these things. We know we're going to have real high real rates for a long time. But it's for us, you guys are like surgeons and we're like hammering. But it was interesting. So that was my big takeaway.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I wanted to wish everyone, I know you have a call coming up, the quick thing I would just say is we're trying to do more videos outside of just you and I. Like Bilal had this short-term rates trade, which we captured in the weekly webinar with the team. By the way, if people are not watching the weekly webinar, I would highly recommend that. This is for our professional trialing clients. It's honestly probably like one of the best things we do. Really gives you each of the researchers kind of 10 to 15 minutes even to really chat through their strongest views and strongest trade ideas and their main concepts on what they focus on. And I think it's pretty valuable. As always, tons of interesting stuff out. Again, we're moving ahead a lot, especially on the AI work. We'll be releasing more stuff around that. And yeah, wish everyone a nice weekend. Hopefully they're enjoying a nice summer and a bit warmer than where I am right now. And Dominique, any parting words?
I think where you are is perfect. You go to the pub at what, 5 o'clock, and you have a nice peach.
I'm in Dublin right
It's
now.
my favorite.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. Good luck, everyone. Have a nice weekend. Bye.